Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news. I feel great today. I hope you feel as good as I do. I don't know why. Just feeling good. David Letterman is on Netflix today. No, it's not that interview thing. This is actual stand-up. This is called That's My Time with David Letterman. On each of the six episodes, he spotlights one comedian each, including a five-minute stand-up set and then some conversation with the comedian. And I think Dave does raps that a stand-up. I haven't seen it yet. It's early in the day, but looking forward to watching That's My Time with David Letterman. So one of my favorite stories lately comes from the Queen's Jubilee. Did you see the Queen had a big four-day party over the weekend? By the way, Apple Podcasts featured Palace Intrigue. That's the royal family podcast I'm the writer on. So we got featured. Thanks, Queen. Thanks, Apple. So I got a little number spike there. I'm all jazzed. Maybe that's why I'm in a good mood. Anyway, Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson went over there and they were like, hey, we're famous. We'll get into stuff, right? They tried to get into the Trooping the Color Parade, which was that big deal with the planes flying over. You probably saw it on the news. They were politely turned down by the UK's Ministry of Defense, according to the newspaper called The Sun. I love the politely turned down. Then they tried to get tickets to the Platinum Party at the Palace on Saturday. That was the big concert with Queen, not the Queen, Queen. You know, Freddie Mercury's band that Adam Lambert now sings for? That one. You've heard of it. Kim even threw out the, oh, we don't mind if we're not VIP. And the Brits were like, yeah, no. The Palace said no. BBC also said no. However, Kim's rep denied the reports, telling Page Six she was only in London to support Pete Davidson. You see, Pete is working on a secret project in London. During the Jubilee, Pete Davidson is working on a secret project in London, and Kim Kardashian, who does not like attention, was just there to support Pete, because she's cool like that. Pete was working on a secret project in London. Kim was there to support him. And the rep said Kim flew back to L.A. before the celebrations kicked off because she had a planned photo shoot, so she couldn't have attended anyway. Sure, Jan. Louis C.K. is back, baby, except he was already back. He won a Grammy. He is getting ready to release 4th of July. That's a new comedy drama movie. He's the director. CK co-wrote this with Joe List. It centers on a recovering alcoholic from New York City who clashes with family on their annual July 4th vacation trip. Comedian Bobby Kelly has a role in the film. Louis appears in a small role. According to the official website, 4th of July will be getting a theatrical release starting July 1. Showtimes and theater locations have yet to be announced. This sounds like a Kim Kardashian PR stunt. I saw a thing, it was Vulture or somebody, maybe it was AV Club. Somebody was giving Louis a hard time because Louis put out in social media or on his website or something like, hey, if you want to see it in your local theater, you should call them up and tell them you want to see it. Yeah, like I'm calling the local theater. Hello, local theater. Now, who answers the phone? The 15-year-old who's working? Yes, how may I help you, old man? Louis C.K. has a new film. It's called 4th of July. It comes out July 1st. I'd appreciate it if you guys over at the local AMC could screen it. That's not how... Louis, stop. Louis will also be touring the film for one-night-only screenings in New York City. That's at the Beacon Theater, June 30th. Boston on the 1st. Chicago at the Vic. That's a great venue. On the 2nd... Joe List and CK will attend those showings. Awesome, because that's content for me. Variety reminds us that film distributor The Orchard had theatrical rights to I Love You, Daddy, that was a previous film by CK, but canceled the New York premiere shortly ahead of the New York Times dropping its report on CK's history of sexual misconduct. The distributor then scrapped the film's theatrical rollout and dropped the movie. I Love You, Daddy was never officially released. Speaking of movies, Adam Sandler is back, baby. He was on Bill Simmons' podcast. It's a really good listen. Now, I openly think most Adam Sandler movies are horrifically terrible. It was interesting in the interview with Bill Simmons to hear Sandler admit that the Longest Yard remake, not so good, and he admitted they were going to make it anyway, so he figured I might as well play the role. But even Adam Sandler would rather you watch the Burt Reynolds version. So that was a really nice interview. And Adam Sandler is coming off his best movie ever, Uncut Gems, so I have a lot of hope for Hustle. Hustle is in theaters already. It's out on Netflix tomorrow. So I'm guessing they stuck it in theaters. You know, it's probably some out-of-the-way theater on a mountaintop somewhere that technically makes it eligible for Oscars. That would be my guess why they put it in theaters for 3-4 days. The AV Club says, in Hustle, Adam Sandler gives an open-hearted, humanistic performance as a down-on-his-luck, disheartened soul hungering for challenge and change, staying within well-guided boundaries of likability. He's an assured actor, as adept with levity, as with the role's more dramatic challenges. Yeah, I firmly believe Sandler's got chops. He just chooses to do stupid. I like smart Adam Sandler. More of this, Adam. On a negative side, the AV Club said the script spells everything out instead of having confidence in its audience. And despite being sewn into a big character building development, the pivotal moment, spoilers, where something goes viral, feels contrived. While not a total slam dunk, I see what you did there, Hustle plays admirably with a lot of passion, artistry, and intelligence. Predictable struggles surprisingly lead to resonant depths. Yellow Springs resident Dave Chappelle has announced a series of hometown shows. It's called Dave Chappelle and Friends. The performances are scheduled for June 9th through the 11th. Again, good for me. That's content. I like it. The shows have that annoying, strict no cell phones allowed policy. Fans were warned that anyone caught with a cell phone inside the venue will be immediately ejected. All right. This one is weird. From LA Magazine, Tig Notaro was forced to celebrate the worldwide release of her comedy album Drawn 5 months late due to a major screw-up on her representative's behalf, says LA Magazine. Notaro told them, "Honestly, there was somehow a crazy glitch where nobody told me my album came out in January. Somehow my reps didn't know, and nobody told me. I was emailing, asking when my album was coming out, and they kept saying they didn't know, and then they emailed me and were like, it came out 5 months ago. I had to pull myself together and find some new reps. It just took me a beat, listen to this flex, because I'd been used to having my specials and my albums get Grammy and Emmy nominations." Relax, Tig. "I had the number one selling comedy album in the world 1 year, so I was like, wait, what just happened?" My wife tried to encourage me to just celebrate. The Hollywood Reporter had a roundtable with a bunch of comedians. They were asked, "When people approach you out in the world, what's the thing they often say to you?" Michael Che said, "Is Colin Jost racist?" Bowen Yang said, "How's Pete Davidson?" Danny McBride said, "Do you want to do some blow?" That happens at the kids' soccer games a lot. All right, everybody, let's hook up friend of the show, Dan Bublitz. He's got a new album. It's called Strangers in My Basement. You can hit his website right now, danbublitz.com, DanBublitz. He's got a track on there. You can buy the album. You can share it. You can just listen to it. Dan says, "Let's get strange in the basement." That's what I'm doing right now, Dan. So, Dan, who are your influences? He says Mike Birbiglia and John Mulaney because their storytelling abilities are incredible. They have a way of telling stories that have points that don't need to be funny because of the way they tell a story keeps it interesting. And you forget you're watching a comedian until they hit you with a super punch that you never see coming. That's awesome. Dan's album is called Strangers in My Basement. Check it out. Hook them up. The Cunts have a hit single. Now, I'm not being vulgar there because if you listen every day, you know I'm speaking about British musical band The Cunts, K-U-N-T-S. I'm not saying that nasty C word. I'm saying a completely different word. As part of that whole Queen's Jubilee thing I was talking about earlier, you know, the thing Kim and Pete couldn't get into? Chuckle, chuckle. Their single, Prince Andrew is a Sweaty Nonce, was the best-selling single of the week, but it only made number 20 in the official charts. Chortle points out the sales figures are a notable achievement for a track that can't get any radio airplay, but the song did not match the band's success with the even more blunt Boris Johnson is an effing C-word, which made number 5 at both Christmas 20 and 21. Writing on Facebook, lead singer Cunt with a K, so it's not vulgar, said, "Number 20 in the official charts? Shenanigans. Best-selling single of the week, though. Prince Andrew is a Sweaty Nonce takes its place in the history books." Meanwhile, the full chart is dominated by Harry Styles, who has 3 songs in the top 10. All right. A lot of comedy album news today. Comedy Dynamics has released Kim McVicker's Tap Dancing on My Mother's Grave. Whew, that's a rough title. That's out today. On Tap Dancing on My Mother's Grave, Kim McVicker riffs about how bad she sucks in bed, really old prostitutes, and of course, her mother's practice funeral. Her mom is still alive. This unique special has it all. Comedy, music, and of course, tap dancing. You've never seen a stand-up comedy special quite like this. Hannah Gadsby's got a memoir. The Guardian reviewed it. Hannah's memoir begins in typically contrary fashion with the epilogue. She recalls turning up to the Netflix Emmys party, where her most pressing thought was, what kind of monster would choose a white carpet for an outdoor event? There, she was summoned for an audience with Jennifer Aniston, who said she hadn't watched Nanette, but was sure she'd love it when she did. Gadsby asked, but what if you hate it? At that point, Jennifer Aniston patted her hand and said, I won't tell you. There's an audiobook version of this thing, 13 hours and 47 minutes. It's called 10 Steps to Nanette. And that is your comedy news for today. You can follow this show for free on my good friends, Apple Podcast. Love Apple Podcasts. They highlighted Palace Intrigue. Thanks, Apple Podcasts. And, you know, Spotify and those other services. If you want to listen on those, go ahead and see you tomorrow.